She's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I have no words to explain, you know, what I have done to her.
I believe the United States of America must remain a standard bearer.
So the majority leader wants us to go out for the weekend.
We are willing. They don't love it, but we are willing.
You brought a loaded gun. Was your gun loaded today?
I'll go along with a lot of things, but not no Judas, not no informant.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where reality is the bitch. This is the groundbreaking, history-making Phil Hendry Show that you most probably heard an awful lot about. Coming up this hour, Justin McElroy, a junior at L.A. Canyon High School who was in Oslo, Norway, along with other young Americans to witness the Nobel Committee selection process. He'll be talking to us about that. We're going to talk about President Obama, the Nobel Peace Prize, the war in Afghanistan, just exactly how all of that stuff is faring with the rest of us. Just to mention, I did not mention this, and I have failed, but we're going to try to make up for it right now. I'm going to be on Bubba the Love Sponge show tomorrow. That's Bubba the Love Sponge. Tomorrow on Sirius XM. So check it out, 9:20 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So I guess that's 10, that's, what is that? That's 1, it's 12:20 midday on Bubba the Love Sponge, Sirius XM. On his show and interview with Bubba. What are you saying here, man? All right, good. Our number at 12:20 a.m. 12:20. There is no such thing as 12:20 a.m., man. Yeah, all right. In any event, get it right, will you, bud?
I'm typing as fast as I can.
877-87, typing as fast. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So a great deal to discuss this hour. And I'd really like to get your input, and our guest is going to give his opinion insofar as a young person, and everybody has an opinion, obviously, and everybody's opinion is valuable, on President Obama and the Nobel Prize. Nobel-winning Obama defends the war in a call for peace. Newly enshrined among the world's great peacemakers, President Barack Obama offered, this is what I'm reading from Associated Press, by the way, President Barack Obama offered a striking defense of war 11 months into his presidency, a fresh Obama doctrine. Evil must be vigorously opposed, he declared as he accepted the Nobel Peace Prize on Thursday. At the same time, he made an impassioned case for building a just and lasting peace. Let's get on the line here from, where is our young guest? He's in Chatsworth, California. This is Justin McElroy. Justin is a junior at Canyon College, or L.A. Canyon High School, because there's two institutions over there. You're also the president of your class, your junior high school class there, Justin, and we wanted to get your opinion on not just the story of the president getting, winning this prize, but also the story of your experience being over there and enjoying what you did see over there and what it is that you learned over there when you and your classmates were there. Was this part of a large contingent of students? Justin, you there?
Yes, sir.
Was it part of a large contingent of students?
Yes, sir. It was a part of a multi-state student leadership conference travel that we embarked on over the summer months, and were able to visit Oslo, Norway, and we were able to meet the Prime Minister of Norway.
Okay. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty cool, and we also met members of Norwegian Parliament, and then we were invited, student leaders were invited to attend the Nobel selection process. So it was a exciting trip for us, and we were able to share that with our classmates when we came back.
And what did you think of the process? What did you think of the president being picked?
We very much supported it. The students in America and probably around the world, but I know here in America, the young people, the young generation, does support President Obama, and we do believe that he has brought a new dialogue concerning peace and how to build peace in the world. And we feel that it was just it was a great award, and it also is a proud moment for our country when our president wins it. So we're really excited about that.
What do you think, Justin? You heard? Did you hear the president's speech today?
Yes, sir, I did. I heard a little bit of it. We were also able to listen to it in class, in our class, and student leaders got together and had we had a like an annual or not annual a monthly lunch with the faculty, and we heard it then.
I want to just play a bit of his speech. This is President Obama as he accepts the Nobel Prize for Peace, and here he is. Let's just listen to a smidgen of this here.
Citizens of America and citizens of the world, I receive this honor with deep gratitude and great humility. It's an award that speaks to our highest aspirations, but for all the cruelty and hardship of our world, we are not mere prisoners of fate. Our actions matter and can bend history in the direction of justice.
That's the president speaking there, Justin. What did you think of that?
Well, I think it was obviously a very inspired speech, and he talked about how even though there are a lot of great challenges to peace in the world, the president knows that we can change that.
Now, the reason why I'm asking you, I'm very interested, because everybody's been talking about this today, obviously, and you're a young person, you're a supporter of the president's. What did you think of that part of his speech where he came out very forcefully in favor of the war in Afghanistan? And I happen to have liked it. I thought it was a magnificent part of the speech where he said that, you know, we have to be realistic. Nazi Germany, no peace movement was going to defeat them. And we have to be armed and ready for our enemies. What did you think about that in the midst of this award for peace?
I have a different viewpoint probably than you do, Mr. Henry, and probably a lot of members of the older generation. Students and young people in America believe in President Obama for his belief in peace. We don't think that the war in Afghanistan is anything that can be attributed to him. We know that, and I think everybody knows that that war was pretty much forced on him by George Bush, and that the president really at this time has his hands tied and can't, you know, do anything about that.
Well, wait, what do you mean he can't? He's the commander-in-chief.
Yes, sir, I know, but he also has the United States military, the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I think you need to understand, Mr. Henry, and maybe some of your older listeners need to maybe read a little bit of history, and I don't mean to sound condescending, but the president is the commander-in-chief, but the four major arms of the United States military, which is the United States Army, the United States Marine Corps, U.S. Navy, and the United States Air Force, have a great deal of power, and the president right now is like a man who's trying to make his way down a dark alley, and he sees these really dangerous people, and he doesn't want to do anything to get himself robbed or beat up or anything, so...
Are you telling me that the president is intimidated by the military?
Well, I think if you understand this president the way those of us who voted for him and support him understand him, and I think I do understand. I mean, I didn't vote for him, but I like to think that were I a voting person, I would have that I supported him in our mock polls in school.
Okay, I understand. Go ahead.
I think that you would know that the president is viewed as a liberal, and he has to watch his step, because if you do read history, and maybe this is, would be educational for a lot of the older listeners, they have had in the history of the world a military, and they call them a military, I mean, I just call it a revolution, but they'll, the military coup or...
You mean a military coup?
A military coup that have taken over.
I would just ask you a question here. Do you believe, and other young people like yourself believe, that President Obama has no choice in Afghanistan, otherwise he is threatened with a military coup of some kind?
I think that you have to take that into consideration. Every democratic people have to take into consideration the possibilities that exist around the world that can do that. Yeah. And
so President Obama, in your opinion,
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry, sir.
No, go ahead.
President Obama, it's not just my opinion. It pretty much is accepted by a lot of us who support him that he went to Oslo to get the Peace Prize, but he also tried to communicate with people there, you know, don't hold the war against me because, you know, there are bigger things at work here than anybody can understand, and I think everybody gets that.
Well, but Justin, what you're saying here is that people that support President Obama, young people, as you say, don't believe for a second that President Obama is responsible for this war or even wants to fight this war. Is that right?
Well, I don't think he wants to fight it at all, no, but I think he needs to keep the military. I mean, he's a man of peace, but the generals in the military are pretty much warmongers who are forcing him into the war in Afghanistan.
Is that a little bit harsh to call our generals warmongers?
Well, if he doesn't, the generals could do a coup on him, and that is...
But are you saying that the generals in the United States military are warmongers?
Well, I think it goes without saying that if you're in the business of war, then you want business to be good.
But they're not in that business.
Excuse me, they're not in the business of war. I mean, if you look at what has been going on in this country and around the world.
No, they're not. They're in the business of defending America.
Well, they have to say that, and I think that.
Well, all right. Why don't you hold the line here, Justin, while I get the phone numbers out, and we'll continue this discussion. But I think you need to take another look, don't you?
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm speaking as somebody who understands President Obama, and I know a lot of you people who are older are kind of cynical about it, and you think that he's all gung-ho for war, but he's got a lot of people that are pressuring him, and I know that when he went to Oslo, he did try to communicate certain coded messages to different people, different leaders that, you know, I hope you get what's happening over here.
That he was trying to communicate with world leaders.
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876 is 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're speaking with Justin McElroy, a high school junior from L.A. Canyon High School. He was in Oslo to see the Nobel ceremony, and he says that he and other young voters believe that President Obama is a man of peace and that the war in Afghanistan is something he doesn't support, doesn't want to fight, but he's being pressured into it by the military. And that it was a war dropped on him by George Bush. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. This kid's getting into some pretty controversial area here. I hope he understands. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Hello? Hello?
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Justin McElroy, Justin, a high school junior, about President Obama and his speech given at the event of him accepting, of course, the Nobel Prize. And I wanted to get back with Justin, just a couple of questions. We're going to take your phone calls here at 877-876-PHIL in a moment. Justin, you heard the president's speech on the war in Afghanistan. This was a pretty heartfelt section of that speech. And you're saying that the president doesn't really support that war. He's being pressured by the generals. He's got the war was dropped on him by George Bush, and yet you heard the eloquence of that portion of his speech.
I agree with you that he said the right words, and I think that is what he was expected to say. You know, I think that's what the generals and the Joint Chiefs pretty much told him to say. Not in so many words, but I think they pretty much said, you know as well as we do that if you indicate in any way that we're not going to press the war in Afghanistan, that there's going to be, a lot of heartache, and I don't want to sound like I'm a conspiracy person, but a few of us were watching the president's eyes. We were watching his body language during that part of the speech. He blinked his eyes a lot. One of my friends who watched that speech and saw the eye blinks told me, and he's familiar with Morse code, that it was the classic Morse for SOS.
So you're telling me he's sending some sort of signal to the other leaders of the world?
Yes, sir.
That he doesn't really mean that?
I believe so, yes, sir.
877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to a phone call here. On the line with us is Lisa in Texas. Lisa, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Justin McElroy. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm so angry right now even listening to this kid that he thinks that Obama's staying in this war just because he's afraid of our military going to do a military coup, and that he thinks that our generals want to send our soldiers in to be their lives at risk and their injuries and everything. I just can't believe someone who has the exposures he's had more than any other kid in the average education has these beliefs. It makes me sick. It just makes me sick.
Well, it's because, I saw Tanya Ryman on the O'Reilly Factor, and I know how to pick up on body language, and it was clear that Obama was very scared when he was talking.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there is no way that Obama is scared. Do you even think that a military coup would happen in the United States of America? I just don't understand it. You have no concept of what our military is about, our soldiers. Generals aren't just generals. They start as a bottom soldier, and they work their way up. And no man who starts at the bottom of a war and works his way up is going to want to send other children into that war.
Well, first, they go to officer training school, so they don't start out like as privates or anything. And they learn as candidates in officer training how to, the military ethic and how to handle presidents who are going to be, blocking their need to wage war. And President Obama, he won the Nobel.
Need to wage war. They might go into officer training.
President Obama is always being watched by some general. If you look at photographs, he has to have a general with him at all times, and he's always being watched by some warmongering general who likes to kill. He's scared of being in a coup or being in a coup.
I don't know if you're paranoid or what. Our president is being watched by generals.
Yeah, let me just jump in here.
Are they like watching him too?
The president of the United States serves at the pleasure of the military machine, and he's going to be elected. Yeah, if he's a peace candidate, and he was, but he has to. If they got a war, he has to say that he's going to prosecute that war, or the military coup, as I was saying, will happen. You need to get a little more educated on history and everything that's going on.
You need to live a little bit more life.
Have you ever heard about a military coup? Have you ever heard about
who have gone and served? You need to go and actually see people and talk to people that have been there instead of this little, I saw him looking scared on Bill O'Reilly. Oh, my God. It's scary, dude.
No.
And that other people are like you at your age thinking like this is just blowing my mind.
I didn't say that I saw him on Bill O'Reilly. I saw Tanya Reitman, who does the body language segment on Bill O'Reilly, and she said that he was blinking like I'm a hostage.
No. Hold on for a minute. You're saying that the president essentially is a hostage to the military?
I think if you look at it objectively, that's what you've got to come to the conclusion of, yeah. Because he's a peace candidate. We know that he believes in peace. But the military.
He's been on the thing for a year. How could you possibly know what he believes in? This is what gets me. You've met the man for a year. Well, 2 years if you count the year he ran for president the whole year long. You don't even know this man's history long enough to even know that he truly believes in what he truly believes in. Only he knows what he truly believes in.
One of our teachers, Mr. Morsink, taught me Morse code, and also Chris Sorensen, a friend of mine, knows it. And it's clear that he was blinking. He was blinking code, and
You are sounding like a conspiracy theorist, man.
Well, Mr. Henry, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. if the president is blanking out a code of SOS, don't we need to know that? Is all I'm saying. And this lady, she doesn't. She wants to believe in fairy tales. Okay, great.
No, I don't believe in fairy tales. I know the truth, and I know our generals do not want to go to war. They don't want to send our young soldiers to war because they've seen what happens there. I can't even talk to you anymore.
Well, I think you're wrong.
All right, we got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
He was blinking out code. I mean, sorry.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk about President Obama's Nobel acceptance speech today. And we're speaking not only about the speech, about the seeming conflicting messages, believing in peace, believing in war. I feel that the president, and I think a lot of people are in agreement with this, the portion of that speech having to do with the war was brilliantly done insofar as he was doing it to a group of delegates who were there to honor him for his peacemaking. And that he would have the courage to say that sometimes war is necessary. Justin McElroy joins us. He is a high school junior. We're going to get to your phone calls here, 877-876-PHIL. Justin, what do you think of that? That portion of the speech, rather than it being, you're saying that the president was pressured into that the president is essentially being held hostage by our military, that he's being held hostage by the legacy of George Bush, that he doesn't want to fight this war, and that he is, in point of fact, you said he's blinking out some code. I don't know what that means.
That he was the SOS code. That was what I was saying.
You're saying he's blinking that out.
Mr. Henry, if I just could go back to one thing. I mean, everybody knows that when John Wilkes Booth shot President Abraham Lincoln, that he yelled out "Semper Fi." He was in a play at the Ford Theater on the night that President Lincoln was shot, and he yelled out in the middle of the play, right in the middle of a scene that he was performing in, he yelled out "Semper Fi" and shot the president. First of all, you have to be a very good shot to hit the president in the head from the stage, but also he yelled out "Semper Fi." That is the Marine Corps motto, and to me, and that proves to me that President Lincoln also was under pressure from the generals.
Well, hold on for a minute. Semper Fi, he didn't yell that. He did.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm afraid he did.
No, he did not. If you look it up, he yelled something. The English translation is, "Thus to tyrants." Semper, the word semper means always. There's nothing in what John Wilkes Booth said that has to do with always. He said, "Thus to tyrants." Number two, John Wilkes Booth was not in that play. He went into the president's box and shot him from behind. And that is an absolute slander on the United States Marine Corps, the greatest fighting unit in the history of the world, to say that they had a hand in murdering a president who is their commander in chief. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think you need to know your history, Mr. Hendry.
No, I think you need to know your Latin, young man.
Sir, with all due respect, Mr. Hendry,
Semper Fi was never yelled by John Wilkes Booth.
With all due respect, Mr. Hendry, the very first president of the United States was a general. Okay? And ever since then, we've had to have had a general as president every so often to keep the war machine in this country happy and fed. And you look at General Washington and General Grant, and Coolidge was a general, Truman and Eisenhower, all of those. That's not a coincidence, Mr. Hendry. And that's what I think you and your older listeners, we get it, the people that supported President Obama, we understand that he doesn't want to fight the war in Afghanistan, but he's got to say that.
So he stood there and lied to all those people?
No, sir, he did not lie, because if you're under a threat of having a coup d'etat. Okay, if you're under the threat of a coup d'etat, you have to say what will save the country.
877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go to a phone call here. We have David. David on the line. David, you're on with Justin McElroy, sir. Good evening. Go ahead.
Justin, you need to take a drug test. You need to research your history again. The Marine Corps didn't come around until much later after Lincoln. Okay, son?
No. 1790s, it was formed. Look up your history. It was formed in the 1790s.
Well, Semple was not yelled out by Wilkes Booth, okay?
Okay, well, see, you already got one thing wrong. You already got one thing wrong, so how can I believe what you're saying?
Well,
you're the guy.
Back. How do you think he broke his leg? Booth jumped from
when he was running to his horse, he broke his leg.
Right, in your little comment that Wilkes was a
what?
Okay.
Yes,
Truman was not a general. Okay, the general had been elected.
I did say that General Washington and General Eisenhower. Yeah.
Eisenhower's the last one. We haven't had a general.
Eisenhower?
He's a general elected since then.
General, and also Truman. I said Truman, too.
Truman wasn't a general.
He was an officer, is what I said.
No, you said he was a general.
Kennedy was an officer, too, so it makes him a warmonger.
I'm saying those guys, yeah. You know, if you look at it, look at Kennedy. He's the guy that got us into Vietnam and Eisenhower, too. And Kennedy was all...
Son, you need to pull your dictionary out or look at the definition, warmonger, and military advisor.
Okay. Well, I'll do that, and you pull out your encyclopedia and find out when the Marine Corps was founded. How about that?
Well, it was founded back in the 1700s. We'll be, okay?
Yeah.
I'm a Navy
much veteran. Later, you go. Yeah, you go much later than everything.
Take up a gun and stand on the wall, son, before you start making any comments about any military branch.
Or
is enlisted.
Yeah.
Take up a gun,
Justin, you say
the
well, you did you? I don't think so, see? So that's why I believe that the military is good if they don't hold the president hostage, and I think that's what's happened with Obama, because he blinked out the code. Did you hear about it?
Yeah,
I think the gentleman's gone.
I studied codes.
Okay, then look at the replay. Obama's blinking SOS.
Oh, come on, man. Are you guys the only guys that saw that? Obama blinking SOS?
I didn't see
SOS. Do you think he's going to stand up there and go, yeah, and also the generals, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they're making me fight the war in Afghanistan. No, he can't say that. And that's why a lot of the older generation doesn't. What?
I mean, sending 100,000 troops into an area is not fighting a war. Okay?
He didn't send in 100,000. He sent in 40.
Okay.
I know more about history than you do. I got notebooks full of notes from second period history class. What do you got other than Alzheimer's? Yeah, okay.
Hey, man. Don't be rude to people.
Well, Where did you fight combat?
I've been to the Persian Gulf, son. You want to go stand on my wall?
On the Persian Gulf? That war was won by the Air Force.
Oh, all right. You know, you can make a lot of claims, Justin, saying that the Marines shot Lincoln when you don't even know the Latin, saying that Truman was a general when he was a captain or something, saying that, you know, because Washington was a general, that means that every president since then, every now and again, we got to have a general.
Are you trying to tell me that the military is right now not watching Obama? I mean, they have a general that walks around with him with that briefcase that has the A-bomb secret in it.
That's the nuclear
advisor. He's the guy who's required to carry the football.
It's got the nuclear secret in it. Sir, that is a way of threatening the president by having a guy go with him and say, hey, look what I got, the nuclear weapon, so...
No, man, the president's got to have that guy with him so that it's his job so the president will know what the military nuclear code is in case we have to go to war.
Mr. Henry, I think it's really easy for you to say a lot of stuff that you read in a James Michener novel.
That's not something I read in a James Michener novel.
Or whoever wrote Failsafe, but... You have to understand, you know, what's going on in our country, and especially with President Obama. I think it's a disgrace that a president has to go to the Nobel Prize area and blink out that he's in trouble. And
you know what? When you show me videotape of the president blinking SOS, I will believe that. Let's go over to Ben. Ben, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Justin McElroy. Go ahead, sir.
Excellent. Justin, this is what I want you to do. I want you to respect me as a veteran of this country and shut your mouth and listen to what I have to say for a period of no longer than 5 minutes. I'm a retired warrant officer in the United States Marines.
Mr. Henry, may hang up on you.
Hey, boy, shut up. I'm not done talking. Always
I didn't say anything.
Always faithful is what Semper Fi means, okay, for one thing. You are a very, very knowledgeable young man. I will give you that. But you
Ben, hold on for a minute. What are you doing, Justin?
Nothing.
If you keep making farting noises, I'm going to put you on hold.
I didn't do... Okay, so I'm not allowed to fart?
If you keep acting like a kid, I'm going to put you on hold. You understand?
So I'm not allowed to fart?
This is my last warning.
Okay. I mean, it's a natural function.
Go ahead, Ben.
Okay. Young man, now listen. You are a junior in high school. You think you know everything, like most young men, myself, when I was your age. But now here's what I want you to realize. These warmongers, as you put it, these generals in the United States services, are keeping this country safe. They are keeping this country safe, and these men are not there to seek war. Our actual goal in the military, and I can say this because I've been there, and I'm an officer in the military, retired, is to keep this country safe. Because when we're over there, we're not at home with our families. with our children. We're over there risking our lives to keep this country safe. We're not over there to have fun. Yes, it does boost the economy. There are some pros to war. I'm not pro-war myself. I hated going. I never wanted to go. But I stood up for the American flag, and I defended this country, as many people have done before me, and many people will do after me. But for you to sit there and say the United States military is holding our president hostage is absolutely crazy and ridiculous.
The commander-in-chief, Justin, that's who he is. He's the commander-in-chief. It's the only military. It's the precedent in America is that our military is run by a civilian. A civilian. The commander-in-chief is a civilian.
Well, I want to ask this gentleman a question because he's in the military. Isn't it true, sir, that the briefcase that is carried by that general that goes with the president has the nuclear codes and a loaded gun? If the president doesn't do what they tell him to do.
The information you're asking for, young man, is classified, and I will not answer that question. Second of all...
Well, everybody knows it's the nuclear codes to the missile launchers and stuff.
Yeah, if everybody knows, why are you asking? Everybody doesn't know.
Because I want to know if there's a loaded gun in there, too, if the president says, no, I don't want to fight in a war.
Are you trying to tell me now that the guy that follows the president has got a gun? Do you understand what you're saying?
I'm just saying, are you guys trying to tell me that there's never been a military coup? Or I forget how you say it.
Coup, man. Coup.
Okay, man.
Go ahead, Ben.
Justin, this is my final comments for you, okay?
God.
I think the best thing that you could do is sit back and think before you speak. I'm not trying to be mean, but you do sound very foolish, and you contradict yourself a lot. You do have a lot of knowledge, but a lot of your knowledge is not fact. It's somewhat insulting to true patriotic Americans like myself, and you're never going to actually have a debate with somebody when you are coming off as very insulting to anybody who actually cares about the American flag. And on top of that,
unfair.
The war.
It's not fair that you won't listen to what I'm saying.
We've been listening to you for 40 minutes, man.
Yeah.
40 minutes we've been hearing you talk about how the guy this and the guy that and Semper Fi was yelled by John Wilkes Booth, who was in the play. Your history is messed up.
That one guy said that the Marine Corps didn't happen until the 18th century.
Okay, he made one mistake.
November 10th. 1775,
right.
November 10th.
Right. I learned that in a history class. And
yeah,
also,
yeah,
if you saw
if you learned that,
Air
if you
Force
learned that
One,
in history class, why were you saying 1790?
If you go back over the tapes, you'll know that I didn't. And also, in the movie with Harrison Ford, they had that guy. He had the nuclear bomb secret in it.
Will you stop with the movie?
Because movies are factual,
what?
And that's what. Yeah, dude, you need to grow up. This conversation is over.
Well,
Phil,
the coup.
Thank you for having me.
Are you saying okay? Have you never thought? You were in the military. Have you never thought about having a coup d'état on the president? Yes or no?
That gentleman is hung up, and I
yeah. Goodbye. Thank you, Phil. Thank you for your time.
Okay.
I get that idiot.
Yeah. See, he was going to answer. He was going to answer the question, and I'll bet you anything that if you asked a military person that they would say, "Yeah, there have been times when I wanted to have a coup."
Coup d'etat is what it's called. You know, if you want to talk about it, know how to pronounce it.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, but it is a foreign language, and, you know, I speak like everybody. everybody else. I speak American, so.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Justin McElroy talking about President Obama's speech before the Nobel delegates. A speech that not only championed peace, but also gave some rather eloquent reasons for going to war. And we're talking with one of the president's supporters who believes the president didn't mean a thing he said, that the president's being pressured by the military to say stuff they want him to say. Don't forget, I'll be on Bubba the Love Sponge's show on Sirius tomorrow morning. That is 9:20 Pacific, 12:20 Eastern. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, our final segment here with Justin McElroy, a high school student. And Justin, I appreciate you support President Obama's appeal for peace. I appreciate that you support the president's, which you believe to be his essential peace candidacy. You do not accept that the president's words were heartfelt, that he does believe war is necessary in some instances. You believe that he's being pressured by the military. And you give as your reason, you give as your reason for this, the fact that you say he was blinking SOS.
Mr. Hendry, if you look at the videotape, okay, all I'm saying is this. Everybody knows that the international Morse for SOS is dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. The president, at the point in his speech where he was saying that war is necessary, and he said also one place where he said, the Nazis could not be defeated by a peace campaign. He goes, he blinked one, two, three. He goes, blink, blink, blink. Then he squinted like three times. He went, squint, squint, squint. And then blink, blink, blink. Okay.
And you think that's SOS?
No, but I'll tell you, the only people who squint like that three times in succession are, we learned in our science class, are people with Tourette's who don't want to say, you know, F, the F word or something. So they'll squint to try to keep from saying, you know, calling somebody, somebody's mom, you know, something, they'll go squint. That's why you see a lot of people who are, who have that disease. They look kind of weird because they're always squinting.
And did you see this?
Did I see what?
Did you see the videotape?
No, Chris Sorensen, whose dad was in the military, saw it and he communicated it to us. That's all I'm trying to say. I mean, I don't know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, because I don't buy it, not for $1 million. Here is Aaron. Aaron in Rockford, Illinois. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Justin McElroy. Go ahead, sir.
How are you doing today, Phil?
Good, sir. Thank you.
Okay, first thing I have to say to Warrant Officer Ben, Semper Fi, mister, you did a great job in the Marine Corps. Me, myself, I'm an Army veteran, Special Forces, 13 years.
That's what John Wilkes Booth said on the stage. Oh, yeah.
No, he didn't.
As far as him saying that John Wilkes Booth said Semper, which is the Marine Corps motto, which it is now today, but the Marine Corps motto Semper Fidelis did not come around until just before or just after World War One.
But he said was Semper Fidelis, yippee-ki-yay, like Bruce Willis did in Die Hard.
Yeah, that's what he said. Semper Fidelis, yippee-ki-yay.
That's what
he said. Was sic semper tyrannis, death to tyrants, is what was said. I, sir, speak Latin. I speak other languages. Okay, you need to stop watching Lie to Me.
Okay.
You
what
need
Dominus
to stop.
What's Dominus Vobiscum mean?
Okay,
Dominus
I've
Vobiscum.
Gone to college through the military for...
Ecum Spiritu Tuo. Ecum Spiritu Tuo.
How people are...
Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima
culpa. Young man, I'm going to listen to you as soon as you listen to me, okay? That's how
okay,
the real world works. When you get out of grammar school and go to the real world, then you'll know how it works.
Okay.
Okay.
Dominus Vobiscum.
Agitated a whole.
Would you knock it off with the altar boy talk?
That's Latin. That's called Latin. That's Dominus Vobiscum.
That's altar boy talk. Go ahead, sir.
Well, he said Vobiscum. That's German. That's not Latin.
No, I said Dominus Vobiscum. And
Vobiscum is German.
You call me altar boy? Were you calling me gay or something?
Why?
You call me an altar boy.
Dominus Vobiscum is Latin that older boys say.
Oh, Vobiscum?
What?
I misunderstood. We were talking too close to the microphone over there. I do apologize.
What did you think? You probably thought I was saying Nabisco or something, which is a cracker.
But Now, as far as you saying God. That the president was breaking Morse code, that's been in about six different movies since the 60s. Okay?
Okay.
If you haven't seen this yourself, and we
haven't
seen
this. That's why he did it. That's why he did it.
You said in your last segment that you didn't see it. You just heard it.
Chris Sorensen told me.
You can't make anything on it.
But Chris Sorensen told me he saw it. And he said, blink, 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 squint, squint, squint. And he said, the only people who squint are retarded. What? No, but I'm going to go over to his house.
Okay,
I'm going to his house on Saturday.
Like Mr. Henry said, until you
have
you can prove and show
Warcraft festival.
Warcraft. Now we're on video games?
On Saturday, we're having a Warcraft festival. I'm going to go over and look at the videotape then.
Okay.
All right, well, we have to break.
Yeah, see, you got to come prepared, man. You got to come prepared.
Let's take a break. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Be right back.
Yeah, bring it, man.
Phil Henry.
Blink, 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 and squint, squint, squint.
Visit
and
us
then
online
blink, blink,
at talkradionetwork.com.